From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. A pipe bomb, or series of pipe bombs, exploded at the federal courthouse in downtown San Diego in the wee hours yesterday morning. The blast sent shrapnel flying, but the guards on duty at 1:40 a.m. weren't hurt. Just the same, the courthouse is closed today while the FBI continues to investigate. A couple of California superdelegates are warning presidential contender Hillary Clinton will have to win big on June 3rd or risk losing their votes. That from the LA Times this morning, reporting that two of the five superdelegates aligned with Clinton, who spoke at the annual California Democratic Convention in Fresno over the weekend, said they would reconsider their support if rival Barack Obama maintains his lead in elected delegates and the popular vote on June 3rd. Many Californians think the initiative process has gotten a little out of hand between the number of propositions and their level of complexity. Or in the lingo of good government, the system needs reform. A well-respected government watchdog has released a blueprint for how to do that. Cy Musiker has more.
The state's version of direct democracy was born a century ago as a way for citizens to rein in cutthroat corporations and arrogant government officials. But today, critics say ballot measures have become confusing for voters and hamstring good government. Plus, politicians and special interests have hijacked the initiative process for their own ends.
It should not be repealed. It should not be abolished. But after 100 years of this process, we really need to make it better and more responsive.
Bob Stern is president of the Watchdog Group, the Center for Governmental Studies, and he's just released a book-length critique of the state initiative process, including suggestions for how to fix it. Among them, having initiative proponents negotiate compromises with the legislature. That would save voters a lot of trouble and proponents the cost of running a campaign. Stern also wants to limit contributions to ballot measure committees and extend the time period for circulating a measure. That would make it easier for grassroots organizations with little money to gather the signatures they need. Stern got a receptive ear from lawmakers last week when he presented his ideas in Sacramento, but he thinks eventually it may take an initiative to reform the initiative process.
I think that if there are enough groups that can coalesce around this, I think there's a good chance of passing, because I think the voters do feel frustrated and do want to reduce the number of initiatives and do want better initiatives on the ballot, and this process would give them that.
That's sure to make for a thick voter pamphlet. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
Rice is cooking in the headlines of late. Some Asian Californians, alarmed by rising prices, have been stockpiling, spurring wholesalers like Costco and Sam's Club to impose per-person limits. But ag experts say there's no shortage, not domestically, given that farmers in California's Central Valley grow more rice than farmers in any other state save Arkansas. We figure this would be a good time to check in with Jim Hill. He's an agronomist who studies rice at UC Davis.
California rice is unique in the United States in that it's the japonica type of rice, the stickier type of rice, which is preferred by the Japanese groups and in the Middle East. About 50% of our rice is exported and about 50% used domestically.
As far as you can see it, why are rice prices so high right now?
Because of the global demand. Something that most people don't think about is that 3 billion plus people are dependent on rice for their primary caloric intake. As soon as you fall just slightly short, you begin to get demands internationally for rice.
Can you talk a little bit about rice prices? Are they really that high in the U.S.?
Well, the hoarding by the Asian groups is not really a matter of what's produced in the United States. In addition to our domestic production, we import some very specialty types of rices, primarily the jasmine rice from Thailand and the basmati types out of India. What's happened is as rice supplies have dwindled in Asian countries, those imports have also dwindled, and those are, in many ways, the rices preferred by the Asian community. So that's why they're making a run on these stores. But domestically, there is no shortage.
How does rice compare as a crop to other things we find grown in California? I'm thinking wine grapes, fruits and vegetables, cotton.
Well, in terms of farm gate value, rice is in the top 20. but it is far below, say, almonds, which is a $2 billion crop in California at the farm gate, and rice is somewhere around $350. Well, of course, this year it'll be more like $500 to $600 million.
Rice uses a lot of water, and obviously water is in short supply, or rather there are a lot of competing demands for water in California. Given growing global demand for rice and given the water situation in California, how do you see this one playing out with rice farmers?
Well, that's a really interesting question because I think there's a real misperception about the water use in California rice, primarily because people see flooded fields and it looks like there's a lot of water use. The fact is, water use in rice is almost exactly as the same as any other crop that would be grown during that period of time. And then, you know, rice soils are so absolutely clay. I mean, that's why other crops don't grow in rice fields. And so the percolation is very, very low. So in actual fact, rice shouldn't be viewed as a culprit with regard to water use.
Looking globally, how long do you foresee this rice shortage continuing?
I think it's going to continue for a long time. The world population is now somewhere approaching 6.5 billion. Many of the Asians in particular have increasing economies and are moving to a higher consumption of meat, which requires more grain. We have the whole biofuel situation with shortages looming in petroleum. All of those things are driving prices up, and we expect that the global population will be at least 9 billion by the year 2050. So the demand is going to continue. I think we're just seeing the beginning.
Jim, thank you so much.
You're more than welcome.
Professor Jim Hill studies rice at UC Davis. That's the California Report for Monday, May 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. OSH, Complete Home and Garden, offering service and selection to Californians for over 75 years. Ideas, tips, and solutions at osh.com. And the California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org.